Hello and welcome to our Good Place podcast that is run by Good Place Innovators, a team of researchers, educators, and student fellows passionate about transforming communities with an extra sensitive eye for our place, local context, and true community needs. Our goal is to inspire educators to connect to their place and transform their curriculum, enabling students grow into responsible citizens with curious mind and a greater sense of belonging. My name is Radka Newton. I'm a senior teaching fellow in strategy and innovation at Lancaster University Management School. I'm also an education service designer and a lead of Good Place Innovators project funded by the Enterprise Educators UK. You may wonder why we talk about good and not great. Well, we believe that getting the basics right is probably the most challenging aspect of innovation. So good is good enough for us. Good is also a nice word in relation to doing good. And that's what's really nice and leading us to today's guest. So in this episode, I speak with Dr. David Perez, a lecturer and researcher at Lancaster University Institute of Art and Design, whose research focuses on exploring ways in social entrepreneurs and their use of design in their business. He also looks at how design is connected to the entrepreneurial context. So the topic of good in the society is very appropriate today. David, welcome. It's exciting for us to switch our perspective to the domain of design, and we are really pleased to have you with us today. Could you perhaps start by explaining what you mean by design in entrepreneurial concept in your research?
Thank you, Radka, and thank you, first of all, for having me here. It's a pleasure to be part of this podcast. Well, a little bit of background. I did my PhD in something related to design and social entrepreneurship. So I was looking at particularly how design management was used by social entrepreneurs. And then I realized that in this group of participants, actually, or the group of people that I was working with, they didn't have any type of management because they were starting their business. So I turned the research a little bit more into what type of design they were using and what it means design from an entrepreneurial perspective, which is quite different to what we normally see in entrepreneurial studies, looking at how design thinking, for instance, can be adopted in the entrepreneurial context. And here I was looking at particularly how design somehow emerged from an entrepreneurial action. So from that respect, actually, I was looking more about those kind of silent uses of design, that kind of unconscious use of design. That was very interesting for me. So it was beyond of, you know, the practice of a graphic design, for instance, of a product design, but I was also looking at when design was used as a sort of process or as a sort of a strategy, and when that appears in the entrepreneurial process.
And your research takes place in Chile. So I'm just wondering whether this was intentional or is it a sort of a place of significance to you personally?
It's very significant for me because I'm from there. I'm from Chile. So I did my research based on my culture. So that was kind of one of the reasons why I did it there. Not necessarily because of the personal attachment I had with the country, but also because I could understand the context better. So that was very important for me. I didn't want to do a research. I also wanted to use actually my experience to understand what happened in there. One of the reasons why I did it with this particular group of entrepreneurs, that they were not kind of traditional entrepreneurs, but social entrepreneurs, is because my interest as well is in how to use design for social good or for social purposes. And social entrepreneurs, in a way, were doing or aim to do something in that line too.
Brilliant. And it was probably very nice to return home as well and explore how the place changed.
Yeah, it is. It was interesting because it was my first time to be there as a researcher and a researcher from the UK. So it was this kind of a paradox of being kind of an insider because I'm from there, but at the same time outsider. So it's like changing that hat all the time was a quite interesting experience for me.
Great. And really just looking through your data and through your research, I was very interested, you know, to learn that even though these entrepreneurs that you interacted with, they sort of saw the value of design, they saw it almost like a knowledge that they needed to learn first. And it sort of didn't seem to be a priority for them. So what did they understand as design?
I don't know if it wasn't kind of there wasn't a priority for them, but well, the research was focusing on nascent entrepreneurs and they were part of an incubation program. And I think in a way, when they are part of an incubation program, there are different type of topics that they need to go through. And in a way, it's a kind of process of learning. It's like learning about, for instance, they had modules about service design, learning how to do networking, learning all the finances. So every single thing that they were doing was a kind of learning process. And they didn't have in that program kind of something specific about design. So I think they were quite respectful to talk about design with property. I don't know if that's the right word, because they didn't have any kind of process of learning of that. But in a way, they were doing design from their own perspective of. So when they were talking about design initially, they were pretty much connecting design to those concept, disciplinary concepts. Like, for instance, I cannot do graphics because I'm bad at drawing. So I cannot do design because I cannot draw, basically. But in a way, they were using creativity. They were using this kind of design mindset to solve some problem that they were emerging in their processes. So yeah, it was interesting, but at the same time, a little bit kind of, I know it's sad to see that they were not acknowledging themselves or encouraging or enhancing their own kind of capacity of being able to design, because they didn't have the job title as a designer. But in a way, they were doing design.
And it's interesting that you speak about that sort of definition of design when we, you know, in the management education, mm-hmm. when we hear the word design, we imagine graphic design or, you know, and we always think this is something not for us. Yeah. So instead of design as a process or design as a maybe way of looking at problem solving with a bit of a creativity in a different way, mm-hmm. That's probably something that we would like to introduce into that sort of entrepreneurial learning and the value of it. Do you think there is a place for it in management learning?
Yeah, and I think, well, I'm an advocate that everybody can design. From that point of view, yeah, definitely in entrepreneurial learning is very important. One of the most creative person that I know is my sister, and she's not a designer. But whenever we talk about anything, she's really, really creative. But whenever I ask her, are you creative? She said, no, I'm not a creative person, because that is kind of part of the domain of creative disciplines like design. But I do believe that entrepreneurs are very creative as well, and they use a lot of design principles, because it's all about looking for opportunities, chasing the opportunities, implementing and making things happen to change something in hopefully in a good way. And basically that's the same principle of design. So if I think the conversation will be easier if we don't use the word design maybe. And that might open up the space to be kind of more creative and, you know, using those kind of design bases.
Yeah, it will be really useful to come up with an alternative. Yeah. And we have tried, but I think you've mentioned the word creativity. Mm-hmm. Then again, people imagine drawing or, you know, creating something with material, which is not necessarily that, is it? So it's a good challenge, isn't it, to come up with a new concept. Well, can I just come back to your research and just ask you about the concept of co-design? So we've spoken about design, and now, you know, this is yet even another concept. So what is co-design, and, you know, how do you think entrepreneurs can apply co-design to create a compelling value proposition?
Yeah, I know what you're asking me, because from the research that I did for my PhD in social entrepreneurship and design, I moved to the area of co-design. So now I'm a lecturer in radical co-design. And co-design, well, the co, it has different type of definitions. It's about collaboration, it's about collective, it's about of any other kind of cooperative it could be. I like to use the collaborative, so working together for a design purpose. So basically the difference between designing and co-designing is that designing has a focus of you design something for someone, for instance, or, whereas in co-design, you design with people. So you as a designer, or in this case, as an entrepreneur, maybe, you design with the people that you're going to be or are going to be affected by the decision that you're taking or the solution that you're trying to to create. So that is very relevant as well for, I think, for a better society, to be more inclusive, to be more engaged with the actual challenges and not creating things for the sake of creating and profiting, but creating things that are really meaningful for the communities that we live in.
And with that stuff concept of co-designing with, do those people that you co-design with, do they need to be aware of what design is? Do they need to have some education in design?
Again, from the perspective that I believe that everybody designs, the perspective or designing here, it acts more like a sort of process to prompt the creation of solutions. So the most thinking here, or the most valuable thinking here, is not the capacity of being a designer, but being able to bring your own lived experience in a particular situation, and also being able to share that and to collaborate with others to create kind of common solution that, you know, benefited everybody in the room. So yeah, it's if we take off the word design, I think it makes more it makes it easy to understand. It's like bringing people together to create something meaningful for them that to achieve a better or to change a future in a good way.
And that was really nicely portrayed in one of your case studies. I really enjoyed reading the case about renewable energy startup and how their business model changed thanks to co-design. And I wonder whether these entrepreneurs, this specific group, whether they knew, did they know how to co-design, or were they sort of guided through the process? Yeah.
Well, something really interesting in this business incubator that it had a strong social focus. So one of the members of the team had a job called social mentor. And this person was a community leader with a lot of experience in kind of leading community projects, community-led projects, and also connecting with other community leaders. And actually now he has a program in a university to educate community leaders. And that person uses a lot this concept of co-creation, co-creating with communities. That basically is a kind of sibling term in education, or sorry, in the university on research. We talk a lot about co-production as well. So they had a module with him, or a couple of workshops with him about co-creation and the importance of listening to people. And it was fundamental for particularly these entrepreneurs, because what they tried to break in there is that sometimes you might have a really good idea. You might know really well some techniques. You might be an expert on, I don't know, computer sciences or engineering or whatever. And you might believe that that solution or that idea that you have in mind is going to solve every single problem and going to be successful, but not listening too much how it's going to be received and whether it makes sense to other people. So this concept of co-creation for them, it was really important in a social entrepreneurial context, because basically you are trying to solve problems and you're not trying to add more complexity to the life of people that are already having other issues. So it's all about, for instance, listening whether the problem they are trying to tackle are actual problems or not, whether the problem they are trying to tackle in or the way that they're trying to tackle that problem are not causing other problems, and so on. So that was somehow the idea of those workshops that they had, and that was the basis for them to go there and to run this kind of these workshops. But again, if I ask them, did you do co-design? They might say no. We just run some workshop, but they were using at the same time prototyping in there. They were using a lot of dialogue with the communities. They were remaking sense of their own business idea by talking with them, understanding the resources and the capabilities that the community had already there, and designing something with them that really fit to their context. So that is how, based on that, they changed the business model to something that it was from installing something in there, a technology, to implementing or to develop some capacity in there to empower the community to create their own solutions, in this case, the solar thermal collectors.
And we discussed a similar topic at our last podcast as well, about how can you understand the sensitivity of the place. How do you, as an entrepreneur, know what the community needs? And, you know, is it even possible? Because your entrepreneurs were also from the place. So were they known to the community?
When we talk about place, I would say that, yeah, for instance, I'm also from Chile, but I didn't know these communities. And I was from a different city, different context, so I didn't know the issue either. So I think there is a stage in the entrepreneurship process that it has to be this kind of sense-making by getting involved or getting or engaging with the conversation of the communities. So in this case, although the entrepreneurs were from Chile, actually, particularly in that company or that case, there was a guy from France, a French exchange student that he started a company over there. They didn't know that well the context. So having these kind of stages of, you know, go there, talking with people, understanding what they are facing, I think is really, really relevant to break some assumptions and to create something that, again, is meaningful.
So it's like a total immersion in the context, isn't it? Your research focuses mainly on social entrepreneurs. And I was wondering whether you think that's the value of design and co-design can be transferred to simply any business.
And any organization, I would say, is also, it could be, you know, public sector. We have worked quite a lot in Imagination, that is the area and the design department here in at the university, with the city council. So yeah, there is value in design or using design in different contexts. For me, design is all about, you know, there is an old definition of design is that changing situation into preferred one or futures into preferred one. And it's all this kind of concept of changing things. So being creative, using the resources that you have available, using the different type of capabilities and identifying some problem and trying to create change, positive change, ideally. We want a positive world, I think.
What a brilliant way to end today's episode, the design as a change for good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, David. And we're really coming to the end, and there is so much we could talk about. What's your next research about? What can we look forward to?
Ooh, I'm very much interested in the use of social practices in design and how somehow design is a sort to performative act, and basically that builds some capabilities and new practices in people to keep generating that change. So I'm very much interested in what happened when we talk about design without designers involved there.
Well, come and talk to us anytime.
Yeah.
And we will share the links to your papers and to your research on the portal of our podcast. So thank you so much for your time. And that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed our design lens and insights about the value of design in entrepreneurship. Our project explores this very topic, and we're experimenting with our students to see how we might adapt the design principles to management and business paradigm. Feel free to drop us a message, comment, or recommendation of a resource, initiative, or idea for our project. And until next time, take care.